Fourth, the servant of God, Sylvester of Assisi, confessor, first order. Sylvester was one of the first 12 associates who gathered about St. Francis, and he was, moreover, the first priest in the order. Just as the Apostle St. Matthew was called from the tax collector's bench, so was Sylvester called from an avaricious life to one of perfect poverty. He was a descendant of a noble family in Assisi and possessed an estate near the city, from which, even though he was a priest, he expected to draw considerable gain. It was he who sold a quantity of stones to St. Francis for the restoration of San Damiano. He had received his price for them, but some time later he saw St. Francis and Bernard of Quintavalle, who was the first to join the pioneer group of Franciscans, distributing the latter's wealth among the poor of the city. Spurred by avarice, Sylvester approached St. Francis and complained that he had been poorly paid for those stones, and that he ought to give him more money. St. Francis, who could not be induced to quarrel over worldly goods, reached down into the bag and gave Sylvester a handful of money, with the words, "Here, take as much as you want, although I owe you nothing." Sylvester eagerly took the money and went away. Suddenly he was touched with remorse, entering into himself. He reproached himself severely that he, a canon of the Cathedral of San Rufino, and an older man, should allow himself to be so deluded by avarice, whereas Francis, who was still a young man, was abandoning all his temporal goods for the love of God. He resolved to rectify the wrong he had done and to renounce his avarice. Almighty God, who advances to meet the repentant sinner, led him on to still greater generosity. During the night, in a dream, Sylvester saw St. Francis, a brilliant cross that had reached up to heaven and had its cross beam stretched out to the ends of the earth, proceeded from his mouth. A monstrous dragon that sprawled over the city of Assisi fled at the sight of the cross. This dream was repeated on three successive nights. Sylvester understood from this that the order of St. Francis was destined by its preaching of the cross to drive out the devil everywhere. He began to lead a very penitential life. Soon afterwards, he sold all his goods, divided the proceeds among the poor, and humbly asked St. Francis for admission into his order. Francis received the penitent with great joy and esteemed him highly as the first priest of the order, being especially fond of him because of his earnest efforts in acquiring perfection. Sylvester became a special lover of solitude and prayer, at which he was so favored that, according to the account in the annals, he spoke with God as Moses once did, as a man does with his friend. Hence, at times when St. Francis was in doubt about certain matters, he would go to Sylvester to determine what was the will of God in his regard. So it once happened that St. Francis sent a message to Sylvester when he was trying to decide whether he should serve God by going out to preach or by devoting himself to prayer. And the Holy Spirit, so St. Bonaventure relates, revealed to the venerable priest, as also to St. Clare, that Francis should go forth to preach the gospel. On his missionary journeys to Tuscany, the Holy Founder chose Sylvester as his companion. At Arezzo, they found furious civil war raging. As one of his early biographers relates, Francis saw a host of jubilant devils hovering over the city, spurring on the inhabitants in their strife. He commanded Sylvester to go and drive out the devils in his name. With simple trust, the servant of God went up to the city gate and cried out aloud, "In the name of Almighty God, and by virtue of the command of his servant Francis, depart from here, all ye evil spirits." The devils disappeared, and from that moment on, the citizens came to terms of peace. Sylvester lived for 14 years after the death of St. Francis, constantly advancing in perfection. He died in the odor of sanctity at Assisi in the year 1240 and was buried in the church of St. Francis. Concerning avarice. Consider what a detestable vice is avarice. It respects no state of life nor any position of honor. Sylvester was a prominent, well-to-do man. He was a priest, yet avarice drove him to descend to contemptible haggling. But it did not also make a traitor of Judas, an apostle of the Lord? It does not set in at once with serious things, taking advantage of others, and all manner of small injustices are the living germs of this vice. If we allow them to take root in our hearts, this vice will gain strength and make its slaves capable of all sorts of wickedness, so that the apostle can say in truth, the desire of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. Do you perhaps perceive the germs of covetousness in yourself? Consider that the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:5, designates covetousness as a serving of idols because of the avarice. Because the avaricious man places worldly goods on a level with, and sometimes even above, his God. His thoughts and ambitions are concentrated solely on material gain. He is little interested in prayer and the divine services. He pretends that his work will not permit him to attend Holy Mass during the week, although he could readily arrange for it. Even the Sunday is frequently profaned for the sake of work. On the other hand, worldliness and vanity are frequently coupled with avarice and constantly stir it up to greater intensity. We want to amount to something in the world. We want to have everything grand and fashionable. In order to achieve our purpose, we hanker and inordinately strive after money and temporal goods. Know, says the apostle, that no such man has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Ephesians 5:5. Is it possible that you may forfeit the heavenly inheritance for that same reason? Consider how we can escape from the baneful vice of covetousness. The example of Saint Francis, who strove only for heavenly treasures, brought the avaricious Sylvester to his senses. From then on, he too directed his attention to higher things, to the eternal, and shortly he was satisfied in temporal goods with the least, and happy to possess only what was necessary. You too will profit by turning your attention to the things of eternity, to imperishable treasures which await us, and by heeding the admonition of the apostle. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. But having food and wherewith to be covered, with these we are content. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8. Prayer of the Church. O God, in whom we live, move, and have our being, grant that, being sufficiently helped in our temporal needs, we may seek with more confidence the things that are eternal. Through Christ our Lord. Thank you.